He's pulled the shirt on, scored the goals. Andy Campbell on the Red. This is the
Red. Oh, he's here. He's here. Well, so am I. But there you go. that's a whole new story, mate. Andy Campbell, man of goal-scoring talents extraordinaire.
I'm awake, Dave, though.
Yeah, you are. But I won't say gentlemen's toilets and stage and screen or anything like that, mate. That's George Michael. How are you?
I'm very well. Yeah? Very well, yeah. Very good. Nice to be opposite you again.
Sorry, mate. I let you down. I know I disappeared and let you down badly. But as long as Daz looked after you, the boys looked after you, did they?
Everyone always looks after me.
Good stuff. Unlike the borough. So,
open that can of worms, eh?
We've opened that, so we might as well jump in head first. Oh, hang on, I better give you a camera, hadn't I? People want to see you, not me. Not the back of my head. 2-2, Hull City. You know, I suppose if this was at the start of the season, we'd look at it and say, all right, decent point, we didn't lose, let's move on and build from there. But not when you've only got four more games remaining.
Yeah, I think, listen, the big picture is we've set ourselves such a mountain to climb in terms of the start absolutely killed us from where we need to be. Listen, we can only get 12 more points, which will get us to 74, which Norwich have got four games left. Mm. They need 6 points. West Brom need 2. Our goal difference then becomes another factor. We've got Ipswich coming up on Saturday. Week one, we've got Leeds United.
Yay.
And then Cardiff City away, and then Watford. Woo. Listen, it's not... I think time now is to plan. Yeah, I think we need to look at the bigger picture, because I think we're fighting for something. And listen, I love the manager's enthusiasm. I love the way that everything he does. I love his philosophy of waiting to play. However, just be a realist a little bit and just understand that we aren't going to make the playoffs. We've still got a lot of teams ahead of us, and the teams who are in there deserve to be in there. And I just think we don't deserve to do it. We don't deserve to be in there. And if we magically did 5-6 games ago and we put on this magical run and we didn't have as bad start of the season, I don't think we're physically and mentally ready anyway in terms of where we need to be. I think it was a stabilised, different job with what we needed to do, and listen, it is what it is. I think it's not a negative. I'm not being all doom and gloom. I just think we need to probably put this to bed and plan for next season already. You know, we need to start doing it early, because if we don't, we're going to be in the same position we were this season.
Yeah,
we can't afford to have that kind of start.
I'd love to get the fans' comments on this one. Whether it be, you can give us a call on 0330 043 2002. That's 0330 043 2002, the number's on the screen if you're watching on Facebook Live, but that's a number on the radio if you want to put a WhatsApp message through, a WhatsApp call, a normal phone call, give Andy your views. But the question I posed earlier, and this is what I'm going to throw at you, mate, is how close were we to the playoffs? I mean, I know you could start talking league table, and at one point we were 6 in the table, etc. But in reality, that across the season, how close or how far away were we from the playoffs?
Look at the teams who we haven't beaten. We've not beaten Rotherham. You know, if you've got any kind of aspirations to be where Southampton are, for example, or West Brom are, you know what I mean? They're stabilised for me in that kind of position. Mm. Now look at. Now listen, if anybody's seen the penalty that West Brom got last night, was an absolute shambolic decision. It was a free kick. It was handball outside the box. They got a penalty, but they comfortably beat Rotherham last night, and that's what we haven't done. Those kind of games and those time of teams. Our record against the sides at the bottom of the league is extremely poor, and it causes a problem, and that's why we're not anywhere near where we need to be. You know, it's not about beating Leicester twice. It's not all about beating Southampton at home and Ipswich at home. It's bigger than that. You know, it's a 46 game season, and you need to have that fortress at home. You need to pick and churn results away from home. 4 points a week is enough to get you in the playoffs. And that this week has been perfect, but throughout the season we haven't been consistent enough. We haven't done back-to-back games like other teams have done enough, and that's killed us. It's killed us, but we should have been in the playoffs 100% after last season. I look at football clubs in terms of progress, and every year you've got to show progress. Under the manager, we had to show progress. Have we shown progress this season? No, because the league table tells us we haven't. I think next season we obviously have to make the playoffs, because we need to show progress. We need to show that consistency and continuity. I think people will say rebuild this year. Is that not going to be the case next year then? You know what I mean? Because we're going to be probably losing a couple of players, maybe it's one big player in particular. So then it'll be a rebuild because you're going to have to replace, and that player will take time maybe to sell. Everyone uses that word rebuild. When does it not become a rebuild? When does it become like we're going for it? Because sooner or later we've got to try and get the Holy Grail, and we need to get back in the Premier League, because the only way to have that kind of model that the Brentfords have had, the Brightons have had, is getting the Premier League money, maybe he's coming down, investing in it again, going up, trying to stay up, coming back down, staying up and trying to invest again. It's a model that every team in the land seems to use, and we need to get there in order to get that money.
Couple of different points there. I'll just pick up on the what you're saying there about Brentford and that sort of model. Is that how we, or is that, I won't say we, is that how a club who's not got the spending capabilities of your Chelsea's, your Newcastle's now, as much as that hurts, absolutely. But you know, of your Manchester's, of your Liverpool's, is that how you've got to treat the Premier League now? Almost use the parachute payments to slowly build and develop your squad.
I think you have to. Listen, it's you can't take a massive risk. You know what I mean? I look at Nottingham Forest last year. The amount of turnover in players that they had, you know what I mean, from the playoff win that they had at Wembley, in order to bring in 35 to 40 new players, some international players, a lot of free transfers. That I don't think the manager knew all the way through the season what his best team was. And then now they're being able to keep a solid starting 11. You know what I mean? So that it's took them a year. They managed to stay in the Premier League, which was massive for them. Norwich have done it for years. West Brom have done it for years. Leicester did it. They go up, they come down, they keep the same squad. They might lose one or two, but they reinvest that Premier League money.
Yeah.
And that's what you've got to do. It's got to be that model that if you come down, it's guaranteed money. So you've got to utilise it and get back up, because if you don't utilise it, you don't get promoted. That's second season. And you're still getting the Premier League money, but you don't get promoted. Other teams who are coming down are getting ahead of you, churning over. There's always a team. Ipswich have probably killed the whole process by coming all the way from League One and potentially going to the Premier League, because it steals a place.
But spending big bucks as well, doing it. I mean, they took a big gamble.
Yeah.
Bringing Kiefer Moore in on the wages. I mean, 30 grand a week having to contribute.
Yeah, massive.
That's a massive financial risk for them.
But then I look at the Premier League teams who are going to be coming down. Sheffield United are going to come down. Potentially Luton are going to come down.
Burnley,
you know what I mean? And Burnley walked away with the Championship last year.
Oh, yeah.
Luton, if they keep the majority of the players what they've got now, are going to be really strong. Sheffield United are always strong in the Championship because they get the lead line by Ollie McBurnie. And the Sheffield United way is the Sheffield United way. And like him or hate him, Chris Wilder does a really good job in the Championship. So he'll have his side well up for those kind of games. And that's three teams potentially who are going to take three spots out of six, so that it doesn't leave many other options.
But didn't we have that this season with the likes of Leicester, Southampton, who's the other one I've forgotten, Leeds.
Yeah,
they all came down, we expected them to be up there, and they were, but then Ipswich are in the mix as well, so it can be done.
Yeah, it can be done, of course it can be done, and I think that's why we probably missed a trick this season with the start that we've had, you know, that I think we needed to show that progression, we needed to be that team in and around the mix, because if we're in and around the playoffs, we could have sneaked in to where Ipswich are, and we could have been hanging on to Leeds and Leicester, because I don't think anybody wants to win the league this season, by the looks of it. I think
dare I suggest we did Leicester twice. We had a great performance against Leeds at Elland Road and almost pulled something out. So we've almost proved our mettle in terms of competing with the guys at the top, or am I reading it wrong?
Yeah. No, we can turn up in the big games. We beat Chelsea at home.
Yeah.
Forget about the second game, because
we took Villa to a good game. Yeah.
You know what I mean? That they were hanging on. They had to change five subs to Ollie Watkins, McGlynn, etc. You know what I mean? So they had to change some big players in order to beat us. We've beaten the top three, top four, top five. You know, we've beaten Norwich, who were in the playoffs. We take West Brom all the way to games. You know what I mean? We've beaten everybody else. So there's nothing to be scared of in the league. But the bread and butter, the games that we should have taken more points off, we've let ourselves down, and they're the games what get you in the playoffs, because forget the top six, that's only 12 games in the season, it's the rest. You know what I mean? It's a 46 game season, and you need long periods of 3, 4, 5 games unbeaten. That gives you 15 points, for example.
Yep.
You know what I mean? If you can get those kind of wins, it's massive, massive.
Well, we had that, didn't we? We had that when we put that run on.
Yep.
Well, I suppose we're still in that run. What are we now? 7 unbeaten? I can't remember. Yep. I'm starting to lose count. Mm. But we put that on. Those 4 straight wins brought us back up towards the coattails of the playoffs, and I wouldn't accept it. I'm sorry. Yep. There's no way I was going to admit to us being a playoff contender, even at that point, because I just didn't think we could last the journey that it needs. I mean, call me a naysayer if you want, I don't care. But we proved that. That's the frustrating thing. It's not as if we're a Rotherham or a Huddersfield. We proved we had enough in us to get points, but we just didn't do it consistently.
No, and that's the word, I think, the consistency throughout the season. It's a marathon, not a sprint. It's not about finishing on the run that we're having now, because the gap's too big for me.
Yeah.
I look at Norwich's last four games, you know what I mean? They're playing probably three out of the bottom five, you know what I mean? And yes, everyone's fighting for their lives, but Norwich have got something different, you know. They're going to beat Ipswich last week, which absolutely just turned the tables. This is local derby, but it killed Middlesbrough a little bit. It absolutely killed you, because you're going into a game against Swansea City a couple of hours after their game and thinking, right, they drop a point or two here.
Yep.
We go into that game a little bit more confident. Yeah, and then they have a midweek game away from home on the back of a defeat or back of a draw. You start to ask a few questions, and they picked off 4 points this week like we did, and we needed to close that gap a little bit. And you know, I mean, listen, a 2-2 draw against Hull, who spent some big money in the transfer window over Christmas, it's a good result. It's 4 points out of six during the week. It's exactly what I'm talking about. But when a team like Norwich drops two big points at Sheffield Wednesday, that was our real opening to try and get a result. And unfortunately, we didn't get there probably by our own fault of giving silly goals away.
I was going to ask, how much of an opportunity was that? Was that game against Hull City? We started off perfectly.
Yeah.
Got a goal last. We'll talk about him a little bit later in the show, because he's starting to show some form now.
Yeah.
And no one better to be able to judge a striker than a former striker himself. But how much of an opportunity was it? I mean, yeah, if we'd have won, we'd have had two more points.
Yeah.
We'd have been 4 points behind Norwich, five effectively because of goal difference at this stage of the season. Was it an opportunity missed, or were we just not close enough, even if we'd have won?
I look at things from all angles, you know. I think that's probably the coach in me now, that people say it's better to play the game first because you can get the points on the board, you can put the pressure on the other team. But then if you know exactly what you need to do, if you're waiting for a result and you know exactly what you need to do, and that's been happening for the top three, that they all play on different days and you know exactly the result that you need to do, and it puts a different kind of pressure on you. We got off to such a good start. I just can't believe that we didn't probably get over the line, because it gives us a real opportunity to put pressure on Norwich at the weekend, because you know what I mean. Yes, we've got a tough game ourselves, but we've beaten Ipswich already. Ipswich aren't on great form. We haven't won in two in the last two games, especially. So
we'll come on to that, because we've got Ipswich and Leeds,
I think it's an opportunity. It was an opportunity lost, because when you know what you need to do, you know what I mean. It doesn't matter if it's a scruffy 1-0 or it's a last minute winner or it's a comfortable win. You know what I mean. We knew exactly that we get the 3 points there. It would have put serious pressure on West Brom, who were also playing that night, and especially Ipswich, Norwich, sorry, who drew the night before.
Do you genuinely think that it was that much of an opportunity, and that, you know, closing within 4 points on this unbeaten run that we've got would have applied enough pressure on Norwich just to maybe see them looking over their shoulder?
I think it made them look. I don't think it would have been enough, because I think the goal difference is going to play a huge factor still. And I think they've got a decent enough run in to see us off. You know what I mean? They need 6 points, and we can't catch them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Unless we win a game really heavily and they lose a couple of heavy defeats,
which won't happen.
Which won't happen in this day and age, I don't believe. In this, it's not the Premier League where there's goals galore. At the minute in the Championship, there's few and far between.
Mm.
And especially, we've just named the two teams that we're playing against. The next two are both going for the title. They're both not losing games because they're scared to lose. And there's nothing in the games at all. Sunderland, you know what I mean? They're cagey games. Ipswich last night, cagey game. It kills us, really. You know what I mean? Because we probably would have been best off playing against a Blackburn or a Swansea or a Stoke City and a team who's got really nothing to play for.
But even if you play a Hull City or a Norwich City, they're the games you have to win.
I think we showed our worth though against those kind of teams. Yeah. That we at home we beat Norwich City. The other night against Hull City away from home, you know, these are really good results, and what we need to do is implement these next season. And you beat the teams in and around you, and you win your bread and butter games. It doesn't matter how you beat them. Then you need to really cement that playoff place early, and let people look up to you and try and catch you, because that's the key.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Instead of doing the chasing, let teams chase you like last year. Last year, people were chasing us all season.
Yep.
Nobody caught us. That's what we need to be. We weren't good enough this season to catch.
Okay, I'd love to get your thoughts in with Andy. The number, as per usual, 0330 043 2002. That's 0330 043 2002. That's if you want to call, WhatsApp message the studio, or you can do it on Facebook Live. A lot of people are doing it on Facebook Live. We'll get into a couple of these. We'll get into more of these in a sec. But Leslie Cutts says the main man's on. Thanks, Leslie. Appreciate that, mate.
Is he talking about me? Are you?
Well, I'm going to claim it's me because he just doesn't say who. Rye, of course. Hi, Andy Campbell and Dave Roberts. Good to have you with us, Rye. That's our Plymouth, our 51-49% Plymouth man.
Yeah, well, no, it might be the other way now with Plymouth hanging on right down the bottom.
They are hanging a bit, aren't they? They are hanging a bit. Are they going to go down, Rye? What do you reckon? Leslie Court's been back. Let's have a look. Against the bottom teams, because hang on. I don't quite grasp it, Leslie. Against the bottom teams, because we turn up thinking it's a win and we struggle. That's my thinking. Ah, yeah, we've lost it against the bottom teams. That's the point you were saying earlier. Yeah. Got that one. Stu Gawley, evening. We've always struggled against teams at the bottom of the league. And I go back a long way. Ha, ha, ha. He's a dinosaur.
Well, it's true, though, isn't it? Like, notoriously, we... And I'm going back when it's always easy to go to play against Man United, to play against all these top sides. It's when you've got to motivate yourself, because the fans get up for the big games. The fans get up for Villa. The fans get up for Leeds. The fans get up for Chelsea, Sunderland. It's hard to motivate yourself sometimes as a player when you're playing against the Rotherhams. You know, I mean, that's where they
need
the extra.
As a player,
yeah.
I know we're due to go into some ads here, but I want to hear this. Yeah. As a player, I mean, as a fan, you turn up when you're playing Swansea.
Yeah.
Shouldn't use them as an example, because I know the rivalry with one of your former teams.
But it's true, though. Okay, Stoke City. They bring no fans, they bring no atmosphere. So you have to generate your own atmosphere. It's easy when Sheffield Wednesday bring 3,000 solid fans. You hear them throughout. You want to prove a point. It's easy to get up for those kind of games.
But that's a fan's perspective. From a player's perspective, the same as well.
Players need motivating as well.
Yeah?
Players need motivating to help you get over the line. If you're having a bad game, who do you look to? You know what I mean? Because you don't want to come off. You need someone to drag you through. If that's another player to drag you through and help you, or if that's a supporter to be the 12th man, 13th man, to help you get over the line.
And if you've suddenly got 27,000 people giving it helping big licks, you. Saying, come on, you might know you're not playing at your best, but come on.
You'll do it.
It helps.
You'll do it. Oh, 100%. 100%. You know what I mean? Likewise, it can have a negative effect, that you're having a tough time and you're in your shell and the jeers, the boos, the whistles, the catcalls. Look at United. You know what I mean? Use Man United as an example. You know what I mean? That at the minute they can't get anything right, because you know fans are negative about the owners and the manager and the chairman, the director of football, the players, and the players don't look like they enjoy playing at the theatre of dreams. Whereas, you know what I mean? You look at other teams who they seem to suck the ball into the goal, and I'll use Leeds as an example.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? The Leeds fans at home are amazing, you know, and they'll be fanatical when they come here. You know, I mean, they'll come here in their thousands. And I'm going back a couple of years when Middlesbrough beat them. I think it was 2-0 or 3-0. We scored very early, and Adam Clayton did a tackle in the first 30 seconds of the game. That set the stall out for me. That I turned around to my dad, who was watching the game, and I said, I guarantee we win this game just because of that tackle alone. It just set the stall out. It got the fans up for it. It got the rest of the players up for it. It got Adam up for it himself.
And yeah.
He didn't need that anyway, I don't think.
No, he didn't.
You know what I mean? He knew already he'd won the battle. In the first 30 seconds of that game, he'd won the battle. And I think sometimes it takes that kind of moment. You know what I mean? If you can do that in the first 5 minutes to win your battle, first 30 seconds to win your battle.
Yep.
You know what I mean? But someone's got to do it. Someone's got to be the catalyst.
Okay, so the question out is, two questions I'm asking from a fan's perspective. How close were we across the season to being a playoff-placed team? And then secondly, and we'll come on to this, is what are your hopes for the summer? What do you want? What do you want the Borough to
do? Don't come back
across
with 6 points.
Summer. 6 points from the summer. Don't know where we'd get that one from. But I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with more from Andy Campbell and your thoughts, your comments, your calls. If you want to call, you can. 0330 043 2002. We'll do that next.
Cam's Red Army, right here on the Red. This is the
Red. It is the main man, Andy Campbell, with you on the Red. Right across Teesside with your comments, your calls. You can call us. I've just switched the phone system on. 0330 043 2002. You can send your WhatsApp messages into that same number, 0330 043 2002. We're on Facebook Live. You are everywhere, mate. You are absolutely everywhere.
Sounds like me.
Yeah. Let's have a look. A couple of more comments coming in. Oh, by the way, Stu Gawley, just to let you know, I was in North America this week, mate. Sadly, on the complete opposite side of where you are, so I couldn't come and have a cup of tea, but there you go. Leslie Coates, going back many years, when Villa and Ipswich were winning the league, we always beat these teams before Andy's time, this, but you will remember Paul Mariner, John Walk, Mick Mills, etc. for Ipswich, and Bobby Robson, the manager. I do remember it, actually. And I became actually good mates with Paul Mariner. Got to work with him in the US when I was at the ESPN.
I remember obviously my coach at Middlesbrough was it was Dave Geddes. Obviously Dave played for Villa when I think they won the FA Cup. Played in Europe. I think in the Cup Winners' Cup back then, wasn't it? So told me all the stories and stuff. So yeah, so I do remember it.
A couple more comments coming in. Just to excuse me a moment. Yeah, a little bit of a cough there. I'm still recovering. Didn't sleep last night. It was flying back, wasn't it? Right. What's your view on Sheffield United being docked 2 points for the next championship season? Go on, we'll answer it. What do you reckon, mate?
The whole thing's a mess, isn't it? I look at the Everton debacle.
Is it a farce?
Yeah. Listen, where does it stop? You know what I mean? Listen, I don't know the ins and outs. I'm not gonna say I do, and I'm not going to get myself into any bother. But all I hear is Man City have brought in all these rules, but nothing happens to them. But Everton, Forest, Sheffield United, every other team seems to be getting dock points left, right and centre. But it's just a mess. If you're going to dock so many points, do it now. Don't do it next season when it's going to have an impact on, you know what I mean? Because I know people would say they're already relegated, but do it now. There's no point in holding on and doing it next season and having an impact, because it's just not fair on supporters, not fair on clubs, it's not fair on the players. You know what I mean? I just don't know what the answer to all this madness is.
I mean, there's all sorts been written about City. Mm. It was 115 points possible breaches. Yeah. But I was reading something in one of the quality newspapers just over the last few days, where it's a situation, or this is what they're reporting, where they've got such good lawyers.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
They're bouncing everything back to the Premier League and bouncing everything back to the panel that's looking at this and creating more questions that need to be assessed and evaluated and more points, that it could take 5 to 10 years the way all of this is being bounced back by City's lawyers. To those who'll look into this and make these decisions. I mean, that seems to be where they're at.
And listen, the whole thing's just madness, isn't it? It's creating a mess. And every time the dock people points, they docked Everton 6 points, didn't they? They got some back.
Yeah.
Forest got points taken off. Sounds like they might get the odd point back.
Yeah.
Is that Sheffield United? Might they get a point back?
And do you know what worries me? What worries me is the real possibility of we get to the end of a season and there's more points adjustments needed, whether that some teams are going to get something back because they've won an appeal,
yeah,
or there's going to be another case of points docked. Yeah. And that's going to determine who goes down.
Yeah, massively.
And who goes up.
Massively.
I mean, it's because then that will go into a court of law, because if somebody's relegated because of it, they'll then go to appeal, they'll go to tribunals, they'll do whatever they can to get out of it.
100%.
We won't know who we're playing at the start of next season for a long time.
Look at Everton. You know what I mean? Everton now are taken over by multi-millionaires. You know what I mean? They're getting a brand new ground. Do you think Everton are going to accept all these points deduction and go in the championship? Isn't going to happen. They'll take the Premier League to the cleaners if they have to.
Yeah.
Because that'll just create a monster. The season will have to be held up, and it creates a monster.
Be the best stadium in the Premier in the Championship anyway, wouldn't it? Yeah, absolutely.
Nice.
Mohamed Ibra gets us back onto a Borough theme. Not until it's mathematically impossible. That's a good result. A missed chance to close the gap, but might not be the last one.
I love your optimism.
That's the word I couldn't even think of. I'm jet lagged, mate.
I love it. I love your optimism. But for me, I'm more of a realist, and I don't believe if we'd have got the extra 2 points yesterday, I think I might have probably bought into what you just said. But no, I don't think I can.
A couple of more points. You just want to get through them on Facebook Live. You've sent them. We want to read them. Rye says it's Leicester for Plymouth tomorrow night. Nice easy one for them then. Les has been back on. Says we'll beat Ipswich and Leeds. Don't panic. Rye comes back and says we are definitely staying up. Absolutely. And
Middlesbrough.
I'm glad you're on camera, not me, because I'm pulling a face. What's this? He's going to come back and find his team possibly in League One. Who's that? Oh, Mogger. He's talking about Mogger, Phil for Mogger, and the Birmingham situation. Phil's been on. We can win all four of our next games, no problem, I believe. He's obviously been watching Miracle on 42nd Street, or whatever it's called, with the I Believe button.
This will be, though, it'll be Middlesbrough all over. We'll win all four. We still won't get in. So it's not about Middlesbrough for me now. It's about chasing Ipswich, chasing Norwich, sorry.
Yeah.
Norwich needs 6 points.
Yeah.
That's all. It doesn't matter what we do.
Can you see, I had this one thrown at me during the week. A mate of mine was saying, what's going to happen is, we'll keep our interests alive until the last game of the season. Now, I don't know whether he's changed his mind, because that was before the Hull City draw. But, I mean, would that be typical Borough, keeping the fans biting their nails? I've already, you know, bitten them down the quick until the last game of the season. Or are we too far away for that?
I can't see Norwich not getting the six earlier than the next four games aren't.
Yeah.
And difficult for them, in my opinion. And I just think by Saturday, it could be, they could only need three. And the West Brom could be out of sight, because they'll be one ahead of the magic number that we can get. So,
yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not about us anymore. It's about other teams. Other teams have to slip up massively. You know what I mean? We can only get to that magic number. Other teams need 6 points. So, and then it goes on goal difference. So yeah. We need really 7 points. We need teams to drop even more points. It's not just that a case of... Of that's what it is. It's even more complex than that, really.
Just looking at a few more. Rye quite rightly points out the late Paul Mariner. I'd actually add to that and say the late great Paul Mariner, because he was a fantastic player.
Fabulous player.
Well before your time. You won't remember him, mate. No, you're far too young.
I didn't see him play, but fabulous. Yeah. I've seen videos. He's one of those players that was brought up to admire.
And have you heard the story about Big Jack Charlton?
No.
So when Jack was with the Borough, it was the year we were topping the old First Division. So it was the year after promotion, yeah. When we had that great 73-74 squad. And we played the next season, been promoted. By Christmas, we were top of the table. And Big Jack, Charlie Aymer, had said to Big Jack, you've got one signing in you. Who do you want? And we'd been offered this lad called Paul Mariner, young up-and-coming striker. Mm. But Big Jack didn't want to spend the money, because they're asking a lot of money for him, and he didn't want to take that risk, and we went and signed Phil Bosma. Well, he wasn't a bad player for Liverpool, like. Was it Phil, or was it Irving Natras? My grey matter is so deep now, mate. It could have been Irving Natras, but I think it was Phil Bosma we signed instead.
But he didn't regret that further down the line, did he?
And look what Mariner went and did. There you go. Yeah, the late, great Paul Mariner. Stu Gawley, without the injuries and a settled team, we could have made the playoffs... but not win promotion. Why didn't you pop over for something? Yeah, okay. Because you're about a billion miles away from where I was, mate, on the East Coast. Do you take that point about the injuries, or is that just all part of the season?
It's had a huge impact. What impact does it have then? So, what are the faults of the injuries? Could they have been prevented?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a warm-up thing? Is it a player thing? Is it a recovery thing? Is it just bad luck? You know what I mean? I think you've got to dig deep and blame the injuries, because is it bad luck? Could it have been prevented? You know what I mean? I just think some of the injuries were serious ones.
Yeah. Hackney is still out.
We've had a lot of injuries, and little ones even there, and muscular heaves in there. You know what I mean? And it was a shame, but for me, it's the start of the season what killed us. You know what I mean? Because
We were always chasing.
It was probably the end of last season had an impact. You know what I mean? Because the last three games against Coventry, a draw against Coventry, a draw against Coventry, a defeat against Coventry. Those three games wounded us. You know what I mean? I can probably go back to the Luton game.
Even Luton, yeah.
You know what I mean? So I can go back further. And for me, that had the negative impact. We go into the season really struggling confidence-wise. We brought new players in who weren't physically ready, weren't mentally ready, into a new country. This season, if we can go into the start of next season with a few fresh faces, up to speed, good pre-season, on the back of some positive results, can we stay unbeaten for the rest of the season? To go into next season unbeaten in 10-12, that would be a positive. And then we can really hit the ground running, because for me, the teams who were already up there and the teams who are in the playoffs, the majority of them have been up there all year. You know what I mean? There's only probably Norwich who've gone in the last probably 7, 8, 9, 10 games. The rest of them have been there for most of the season. And there's the odd team like Sunderland who dropped out, who've been there the majority of the season. But we've never been there. So It's been really difficult, really.
Are you ready for a quiz question?
Yeah, go for it.
We've been hit with a quiz question. So this comes in from Leslie. He says, quiz question for the pair of you. Who was the last team in Scotland to win something in Europe? And what year, if possible?
To win something in Europe?
I mean, Rise comes straight off the back of it with an answer. I don't know whether it's right or not, but...
Rangers got beaten in the final, didn't they? They got beaten in the final a few years ago. To win something, I'd probably say the...
And that's who Rye goes with. He says Rangers 2008 City of Manchester Stadium.
Didn't they lose?
Don't know.
I thought they lost
that. I'm out of that one.
Yeah,
I thought
they lost that. And if it's not that, I'm going back to the Lisbon Lions for Celtic.
Wow, that's a long... Yeah, wasn't it 60... Yeah. Is it really that far back?
I don't know. Did Fergie win anything at Aberdeen?
That's a good point. Aberdeen did win something, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, they won a... Anyway, yeah, there you go. So, come on. Yeah. It was Leslie. Put us out of our misery, mate. You can put us out of our misery.
I thought they lost the final at Manchester.
Don't know.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Don't know. Ian's chipped in with the mighty Darlow FC. Good to be safe. Full time on Saturday, hopefully. The great escape will be done. Steve Watson's black and white army. Come on, Darlow. We're going to try and get Watto on the red, because
huge,
obviously you can listen to us in
huge
Darlow.
Achievement.
What an achievement.
Huge achievement.
Do
you know what? Keep him happy. Hopefully the fans can get their hands in the pockets again and raise as much money as they can for the budget next season, because with Steve at the helm and bringing in the players that he knows locally as well as nationally, he can have them turning their fortune rounds and battling back against Benny Hill and South Shields. So
I mean, you don't become a bad team overnight, do you? I mean, Alan had his struggles with that team, but it's not far off the team that he was flying.
Alan took the club as far as he could, and he hit that lull. But when he left the club, they weren't anywhere where Steve was when he picked them up. It was the other transition and
Josh Garland coming. He didn't
other bad management. You know what I mean? Listen, it was a tough job, because I think you've got to know the area. I think you've got to know the fans, and you've got to know about Darlington and the history. I believe it's the same as Hartlepool.
Yeah.
I think when you live in the northeast, you've got to know something about the club, and coming from a southern based area to come in the northeast, you've got to be bang on.
Yeah. Big Jack sent the kangaroo back, i.e. Craig Johnson. Said he was not very good. I can't use the words that's been posted. Aberdeen, 1983.
Aberdeen,
has come in from a few. Les, who set the question? So there you go. You were right when you said Fergie. And Ian's come back to say, anybody who fans free at the weekend, get yourself over to Darlington. It'd be much appreciated. And he's got a great quiz question. What ex-league club's ground is in two countries?
Chester City.
And
North Wales.
The ground isn't.
Diva Stadium.
Yeah. So I think you're on about Chester. Ian, tell me if I'm wrong. But I think I've looked at this because I'm sad. I'm a real sad individual, mate. And I looked at the map to see where the border's drawn. And they've actually drawn the Welsh border around the stands, but the car park's in England.
Right, okay.
So I might be wrong, but is it Chester City?
It'd be really good if half the pitch was...
Wouldn't it?
One goal is one goal, isn't it?
But who pays the rates, the club, then? Because which country you're in?
I suppose it depends...
Which
also,
county you're in?
It depends also which who's supplying you your water, your electricity, because you've got to come from somewhere, hasn't it?
Brilliant. That's how not to run a football club. And Nick says, don't think we should be even waiting to be promoted with this current squad. Definitely build a squad for next season. Hopefully let's have an inquiry. An injury-free one, and push for automatics next season.
And an inquiry.
We'll have an inquiry. We'll ask that question. We're going to do that next. What do you want to see from the Borough over the summer? Is it signings? Is it, I don't know, new formation? Is it stop playing it out from the back? What are your thoughts? 0330 043 2002. Get your WhatsApp messages in. Also give us it on Facebook Live. We'll be right back.
Catherine was turned down by two other solicitors before Ather & Co took on her case.
My husband was at work, tripped over, fractured his knee. He developed pulmonary embolism and died. That left me a widow with three young daughters. Devastating. Charles Ather took my husband's work to court, got them to admit liability. They were very diligent, very caring. Choose the one you know. sure glad that I went to Athens.
Lanes 2 and 3 have reopened between the junction 1 and the roundabout northbound slope southbound.
Driving is not a game. If you tailgate the car in front, the closer you get, the less time you'll have to react. Don't be a space invader. Stay safe. Stay back. Search Highways England for more information.
Clark. My debut, 1990 September, Bristol City away. To get that opportunity, what thousands of Geordies only dream of.
Hignett. Playing against Chelsea and to score the first goal there is something that still lives with me now, and it's what most people will talk to me about.
Williams.
A first goal for Sunderland away at Leicester. It was a left foot volley. I didn't realise my left foot was for kicking a ball in as well. I thought it was just for standard.
Across the North East, it's the three legends.
Fridays at 6 on the Cats, the Reds and the Toon.
Hey! He's pulled the shirt on, scored the goals. Andy Campbell on the Red.
This is the Red.
Oh, get off. That's far too early. So, mate, we're asking the question, what do we need from next season? What do we need from next season? By the way, Rise chipped in, said the answer to Leslie is Aberdeen, 84-85 season. I think we've got that one. And Ian says, yes, you're correct with Chester. They had problems with lockdown. So, let's have a look at the summer. What do we need? What do we need, mate? Because if I can dig into one positive at the end of this season, even though it's going to end in a little bit of disappointment, mate, is Latte Laff looks like he's starting to find his goal scoring touch. Had injury problems, had to settle in as well. First and foremost, as a striker moving on to a new club, I don't think you went to a different country, did you?
Well, I went to Wales.
Okay, then it was over the border. How difficult is it to settle and then find your feet as a striker?
It's really hard unless you hit the ground running straight away with a goal in your first game and probably follow it up. Like to be fair, I did as well. I scored my first away game, which was my debut. I then went to my first home game at Ninian Park and scored two on my first home game. And
so you're a hero instantly.
It really helped me settle in. And then I 2 weeks later, I scored three goals, at Oldham in a 7-1 win. So wow. I'd really impressed the fans in my initial period, but then it's like a honeymoon period that doesn't last forever, and it's then the expectation gets ramped up a little bit.
When did that Barron spell hit? Because all strikers get one
after the three,
really.
Yeah, and to be fair, we got in the playoffs, missed a couple of good chances in the playoff semi final, and you know you get knocked out of the playoff semi final, and you just sometimes wish that those big moments, you can save something for those big games and those big moments.
Oh,
you know?
But you did, mate.
I did later on down the line. Yeah. I probably owed them that after letting them down the year before. But that's football, isn't it? It's. Listen, we're all human, right? We all make mistakes, and we all have good times. We all have not so good times, and it's nice to see somebody getting probably the rewards for working hard, not giving up, showing he's a good footballer. Because Middlesbrough don't bring in bad footballers, you know what I mean? We're a championship team with aspirations to get the Premier League. He's probably got aspirations to be a Premier League footballer, and he's got to show his worth by scoring goals regularly and doing what he's doing now, because he's on that purple patch, and every time goals are like buses. One comes, another comes, and another comes, and he's shown his worth. And we also can't be too reliant on him, because when he's injured or when he's not available, when he's not on form, who else is going to chip in with goals? You know, and I think that's where we were a little bit reliant this season on one or two individuals. Last season we were scoring from all angles, and it was a happy ship, and yes, Akpom was doing what he needed to do, but
Archer was there,
yeah. And we had other players. Ramsey, McGree was chipping in regularly. We also just need to make sure that the too much pressure isn't put on his shoulders, especially in the summer. If we aren't going to get promoted, maybe he's make sure that he's in the right frame of mind and stays fit for the rest of the season, so he's not picking up anything for the summer and has an impact, because he had his injury problems. It's taking him time to get match fit, he's shown his worth by being match fit and sharp. And listen, I feel sorry for Josh Colburn, because Josh was obviously the manager's favourite. He's played the majority of the season, but I think Latte Lath has the attributes. He's got pace, he's got power, he suits the way that we play. Pace scares every defender in the land, you know what I mean? Look all the top teams.
Yep.
And when Leeds are flying and you've got Somerville flying from from deep, and your and your, even your Hulls and your Norwiches, you know what I mean, they've got pace and they can damage and hurt you, and Lath's on that page, and we just need to make sure that we utilise his talents, but make sure that he also hits his potential next season, because whatever he's doing this season, he's got to do tenfold next season.
Yeah.
Because in order for Middlesbrough to get in the playoffs, we need a 20 goal centre forward, and that's just football nowadays. 2020.
Well, to be fair, if you take into consideration the amount of games he missed,
yep,
through injury, and what's he on now? Is he on a dozen goals or somewhere around there?
It's a brilliant return.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a brilliant return for somebody who's come from a foreign country.
Well, I was going to ask you that, because it's a foreign country, it's a different language.
Yeah.
You know, it's a completely different style of play. It's the championship, which
ruthless.
Yeah, exactly.
Ruthless.
We all know the rough and tumble of the championship in comparison
to
others.
The amount of games he's expected to play in the season from where he's come from, you know, is probably double.
Yeah.
The midweek games. Foreign teams don't play midweek games. They don't have that Saturday, Monday bank all the weekend. They don't have Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, Wednesday. You know what I mean? It's a different animal in England.
And big hairy backsided centre half.
You don't have
horrible people
that want to damage you.
Put you on into orbit.
You know what I mean? So he's learned the hard way, and he's learned the way that you have to learn in England, unfortunately. And you earn your stripes, and now he's earned that. You know what I mean? Teams are going into games scared of what he can bring and the attributes that he's gotten. Will he do it in the big game at the weekend? Will he bring it to Leeds? You know what I mean? Listen, these are the kind of challenges that players challenge himself, and the expectation for every Middlesbrough fan is we want him to finish the season as many goals as he can, and if that's keeping us unbeaten, if that's getting four wins out of the next four games, brilliant. I don't believe we will get in the playoffs, because for me it's other teams that's for them to lose.
Yeah.
I'm speaking individually for Lattie Lath himself. I'm speaking individually for the club, and what we need to do is we need to finish the season strong, ready for next season, because last season I believe had the impact and the negative impact. This season we need the other way, because players, and I'll use Zach Pomme as the example, that he didn't score against Coventry, gets a move in the summer, we don't replace, has an impact. You know, if you can get a centre forward who's confident going into summer, yep, wants to improve his fitness, wants to get sharper, wants to go and score goals next season, we're on to a winner.
You touched on it earlier, so I'll blame you. Will he be here next season? Could he catch
I did ask that on air, because I look at things a little bit different, and I look at other centre forwards who are available now. You know what I mean? I look at the Premier League as an animal, in terms of teams seem to buy players and stick them in the 25-man squad and they don't utilise them.
Mm.
We've lost one already to Villa, you know, and could it happen again? Of course it could. If he does too well, teams might look at him and look at his attributes, because he's a good footballer.
But if you look at him now, and if you're that outsider looking in, you think he's had his injuries this season, but he's still stuck a dozen goals in.
Yeah.
What would we get out of him if we give him better service and we could keep him healthy?
Yeah.
So I'm sure he is attractive right now.
Yeah, and I totally agree. And I think maybe if we don't win the next game, and our position is untenable in terms of getting anywhere near the playoffs, then maybe it might be an option to pull him out for a game or two and just try and slowly let people off the scent a little bit, how well he's doing. Because what we can't afford to do, we can't afford to be known as that selling club and sell our main assets all of the time. You know what I mean? Because we lost a big centre forward last summer, mm, along with a host of other players. What I don't want to do is have another summer of turmoil, and then have to replace and not be able to replace, because it's difficult to then find that hidden gem or find those kind of players.
But it's difficult, isn't it? Because I think if the model is of your football club that you've got to sell players to be able to reinvest and build and slowly. I mean, if a decent offer comes in, you'd have to look at it.
No, 100%. I'm guessing you would. You asked the question about what would I like to see? What would I like to, what would the fans like to see in the summer? I'd like to see the manager getting backed, both himself,
yep,
new contract, come out that he's shown that the club want him, and he's definitely going to big noises that he's going to be here, because I'm sure there'll be jobs available left, right, and centre, and I'm sure he'll be touted because he's done a phenomenal job over the last two seasons. Has he earned his stripes to get those opportunities? Potentially, but I'm a Middlesbrough fan. I want him to stay here.
Yep.
I do like his philosophy. Has he got the players to match that philosophy? Not in my opinion,
not
right
quite
now.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Because he's
playing out from the back is the big example.
He showed in midweek that he's got his way of playing, which is very attractive. It's very good on the eye. But unfortunately, you know what I mean, we don't have Stefan in goal, who likes to and is comfortable with that kind of terminology and philosophy, but everyone to their own. And unfortunately, it didn't work out through the week, but the manager's quite strict with in terms of what he wants, and now he's doing it. And for me, it's a fantastic way of watching football, but you've also got to have the place to do it.
Yeah. A couple of points coming in. Patrick, been on, he says, "Hi, lads, great show. We need at least seven players. I think our goalkeeper will go, Dieng. I think Van der Berg will go. McGree and Hackney will go. What do you think?"
I hope Van der Berg doesn't go.
He's a great talent.
Yeah, I think he's got so much potential. I think as a player, I think, has he done enough this season to probably get a move? I think he probably needs a little bit more stabilisation. I think he needs another season, in my opinion. And I think he needs regular football.
Would he, as a young player, look at that, though?
No.
Or would he just look at if there's an opportunity to step up?
If a Premier League team comes in, you've got to take note.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Look at, I'll probably use Dale as an example. You know, that Dale's played here for so many years. He's had opportunities by rumours that he could have moved to the Premier League left, right and centre, but he wanted to have that other season, more season, and then all of a sudden you get stuck. You know what I mean? I'm not saying Van der Berg will happen to him, because I think foreign players are built differently. Dale's a local boy. He wants to play for his hometown club. He's decided a different route for himself. But I think players need to play football.
Yeah.
And to sit on the bench and not be utilised in terms of regular football can have an impact on your further career and your further development. And for me, I think he needs to still develop, still improve, and he could do that tenfold here.
Yeah, and I think him sitting alongside Clark at the moment, tremendous.
He could be a captain. He could be Middlesbrough captain.
Ian says, "Good luck to Gateshead in the FA Trophy final at Wembley Stadium."
Yeah, they beat Macclesfield. Yeah, play Solihull, so it's a big one. You know, I thought it was a bit of a banana skin to play against Robbie Savage's Macclesfield. I thought they were like a steam train and they were going to beat everybody, and it was like a fairy tale. But I'm really pleased for them. I know they lost the last time they went to Wembley, so hopefully it's second or third time lucky, because I know they've had a bit of heartbreak there at Wembley.
Well,
and we all.
They're not the only ones, are they? How many times we went?
It's a north-east thing, isn't it?
Three times in 11 months,
and
didn't get a sniff. Well, north almost
thing.
A sniff. I still haven't forgiven Leicester. Yeah. Let's have a look then. Leslie Coates says, "I bet you used to go to the Martin Country Club when Charles Aymer had it, and his big Rolls Royce with the reg number 95WY. Good memories, lol. I did used to go in the country club, but I wasn't old enough to drink, mate. I'm not that old." And Patrick Wheatley, "Latte Lath will stay for another season, but I think he will just stay playoffs." Hang on, let's get that right. He's going to stay for another season, I hope. "I think we'll just stay with the playoffs of God. Just finishing strong, and let's prepare for next season and kick on and bring in some really good players."
Sensible comment.
David Campbell, "Van der Berg oozes class, just needs another season. He's smart and has a good agent after a recent article from Kieran Scott." So,
another sensible comment.
Another sensible comment, almost to finish on, yeah.
It's such a difficult one, though, because players are governed by representation as well. So, if an agent tells you that you're moving as well. So it's players have the power, and hopefully Michael can get into people's heads, have good meetings with agents, good meetings with players and representations, and just tell them what the plan is and what's going to happen moving forward, because that's the key for me.
Yeah,
they need to be told exactly what's happening, because you can't kid a kidder.
Is the work ongoing now to identify the talent that we need?
I hope so.
We're not going to be in the Premier League.
I hope so, because we need investment. I don't believe we need seven players, but I think we need...
We could lose a few, though.
Yeah, I think we need
Senny,
a good five.
Senny's been attracting Premier League interest.
I think we need a good five, yeah.
Van der Berg, like you say, might stay around, because if he has got a sensible agent, you might say, give it one more season. Hayden, there's a question of Hackney. Will Hackney be here? So we could lose a couple.
Yeah, I think we will lose a couple. Mm. I think, and it'd be very interesting if we can reinvest, because Hayden will bring in a significant amount of money, and if you can we can reinvest that kind of return, we can get some serious players.
How do we answer this one, by the way, mate? I've got a question from Leslie Coates. How old are you? Just so I know your era. How do I answer that one?
Age is just a number.
Yay! I love that. Leslie, age is just a number. You heard Andy Campbell say that. Let's just say, I do remember as a kid sitting in the South Stand at Ayrton Park watching Jack Charlton 73-74.
Age is just a number.
As a kid. Hope that helps. We've got to talk about coming, the forthcoming. So Ipswich.
Yeah, big game. Big game for everybody.
And Leeds.
Big game for everybody.
Mind you, we'll have a show in between. So let's just talk Ipswich.
It'll be cagey. It'll be cagey for us because we'll want to keep this unbeaten run going. It'll be cagey for them because they haven't won in a couple of games. They're not scoring as freely as they do, but they don't seem to let many goals in. Their fans will be expecting. I'm sure there's a game on the night, or they're the last team, or they're the last. Someone's playing Friday, so I think it's so intriguing. You know, I mean, Sky have played a blinder with having games on different days and different times, so that they're going to find they're putting pressure on each other, and I think it's keeping the league quite interesting. But when you've got a centre forward like Kiefer Moore. Sam Morsey, I was hoping might have picked up a red card in the week because he's one of those players that you love to hate. You know what I mean? He's going to get stuck in. He's going to win his battles. He's going to want to beat Middlesbrough Football Club. He didn't have a great time here. So Chaplin scoring goals, doing well. You know what I mean? They've got so many dangers, Ipswich. They've got a really good manager, really good coach, head coach who's done a great job. I just hope that we can keep the run going. I'm not saying I'm expecting us to win because I probably don't. If somebody offered me a 0-0 draw now, I'd probably snap the hands off because I think it's important that we look after our own and keep this run going and try and stay unbeaten as long as we possibly can.
So Leicester play tomorrow night.
Yeah,
this is what's happening at the top. Leeds kick off early.
Yeah,
at home to Blackburn Rovers,
and they play last.
Yeah. And effective, well, Ipswich obviously have got a 3 o'clock kick off. It's almost like the Premier League this now, the Championship. Yeah,
they're playing a blinder. Sky are playing a blinder.
But Southampton play on Tuesday as well.
Yeah,
so
Sky are playing a blinder in terms of they're getting all the games in, so they know exactly that. I don't know if that's good for Ipswich because all teams could have lost.
Mm.
They could have both won, and it puts serious pressure on them. Will that have an impact on more pressure? Will it thrive? It's so interesting.
It's something you mentioned earlier when we were chatting downstairs before we came into the studio. You were going on about, you know, how the teams up there at the top, all of them at the moment, obviously are afraid of losing. Rather than focusing on just how can they steamroller their way through to the top two places or not. Mm. Could that work in Borough's favour?
It could if we can get ahead. I don't believe that teams will go gung-ho because I think they'll probably look at the next three games and as long it depends how the games are getting on, because if Leicester don't win or Leeds don't win, do Ipswich need to win? They don't. They'd like to win, of course they would, because it'll have a huge impact. But as long as they don't lose, it's that chicken and egg, isn't it? It's a case of, you know what I mean, they need to hang in there and keep the pressure on teams, because whichever team of those three finishes third, I fear for them, because I don't believe they'll go up. Because
you think it'll be such a deflation?
It'll be a nightmare. It'll be such an absolute nightmare in terms of that they've been up there all season. They're going to have to regroup the players. They're going to have to freshen things up. They're going to have to hope that the team who finishes sixth doesn't, because that's who they're going to end up playing, doesn't come in with serious confidence. And because it could be Ipswich Norwich, and that it'll be a nightmare.
What a game! A quick one. Stu Goley reckons we should start a new competition. Guess Dave's age. Ian's come straight back and said 40 years of age. I want to keep on the good side of him. I love him. That's, I love you,
good
mate.
Answer.
Yeah, good answer.
That must make me 21 though. Yeah, like that as well.
That's all I can say. And the final comment is from David Campbell. 8 game unbeaten runs. A massive bounce back from Stoke away. We cleaned up until last night. It's been impressive. I fancy us getting a good result against Ipswich on the counter. And Patrick's jumped straight on the back of that and said, I think we'll get something out of Ipswich. Hopefully beat Leeds at home. But with a big crowd, let's get behind the lads and get a result. I'm going for a 1-0 win against Ipswich and a 1-0 win against Leeds. Well, we'll talk more about Leeds next week, mate. But thoughts? Can do Ipswich.
I'm going to go draw. I think we're playing really well. I think we're playing with enough confidence to get something out of the game. I think both Leicester and Leeds are both going to win their respective games. I think it's going to put serious pressure on Ipswich, and they can't afford then to lose. So I think I'm going to go 1-1.
Good man. I'll Yeah, okay, I'll go with you. Yeah. I'll go with the 1-1. I've got a heart and head moment. So obviously the head's telling me, yeah, Ipswich, you've got too much to lose, therefore they'll just nick it. But the heart obviously is telling me I can't go against the Borough.
Yeah, we're playing well, aren't we? Yeah. And I think we deserve that kind of respect now in terms of, it's not about the playoffs, it's about just churning games out.
Yep. Cracking. We're done and dusted.
Thanks,
we'll catch you next week and have a chat about Borough playing Leeds United off the back of a great victory at Portman Road. Have I just put the mockers on it?
Yeah, 100%.
All right, mate. Thanks.
Forget the Mackems. Forget the Mags. Smoggies and Proud. This is the